I said last week that one of the things I wanted to do tonight was to answer some of the questions that you all have written on your cards. And so hopefully one will lead into another, but I never know what the divine really wants to say. Okay? So I start, and then the divine takes over, and I'm just the mouthpiece for whatever comes through. So I just want you to know I'll begin, and then we'll see what happens. So we may not get through all of these for an entire year. I have no idea. But keep writing your questions, because often the questions then give me awareness as I'm preparing as to how the alignment of the energy will be for that particular class, however that might be, or lecture, or whatever you want to call it. I don't actually know what to call what we're doing, except having a good time, I hope, which I certainly am. I wanted to read two of these wonderful poems by mystics. This is Meister Eckhart. It is your destiny to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels. How is this possible? How? Because divine love cannot defy its very self. Divine love will be eternally true to its own being, and its being is giving all it can at the perfect moment. The greatest gift God can give is his own experience. Every object, every creature, every man, woman, and child has a soul, and it is the destiny of all to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels, to be as God is. Now, the first time I read that, it just stopped my world, because I believe that the soul, being divine and being that divine presence in us, that if we were to change this and say, it is your destiny to see as your soul sees, to know as your soul knows, to feel as your soul feels. How is this possible? How? Because divine love cannot defy its very self. Divine love will be eternally true to its own being, and its being is giving all it can at the perfect moment. The greatest gift your soul can give is its own experience. Every object, every creature, every man, woman, and child has a soul, and it is the destiny of all to see as the soul sees, to know as the soul knows, to feel as the soul feels, to be as the soul is. So once we recognize that divinity, and we recognize that that divinity is us, that we are not separate from that divinity. And the only thing that ever questions that is our ego, which leads me to the first question. What is the purpose of the ego? Okay, we're going to ride a wave tonight. And I'm going to just kind of give you a really big overpicture about the big things, and then I'm just going to try and pare it down and pare it down to an individual expression. As we know, everything is illusion back to God. Everything is illusion. This chair, this table, this person, everything is illusion. And in this illusion, this dream, if you wish to call it that, that everything within it is divine. Everything in it is divine. Now, you may look at something and say, how can war be divine? How can illness, starvation, suffering, pain, how can that be divine? Well, this is what the divine said to me. When there is a contraction of the vibration of the divine, then there can be pain and suffering and war but it is still divine at its essence, but it is very contracted. And when it is expanded, then we see the goodness, the love, the light, the peace, the joy. We see all of that. So we are living in a world that in truth is all illusion, and two very important things are happening. There is contraction of many different degrees happening on the one hand, and many degrees of expansion happening on the other hand. And we have come into embodiment to learn through what? Polarities. So look at these amazing polarities that we have to work with. The form and the formless, that which is expanded and that which is contracted, that which is vibrating very slowly, and that which is vibrating very, very quickly. And the vibration of the divine is so rapid in its vibration that we cannot necessarily attain that level of vibration while we're in the physical form. We can move to attaining it, and it is also one of the great aspects of the soul, is that the soul knows how to take that exquisite divine vibration and actually step it down so that it can enter this physical form. And we're vibrating quite slowly because we're very solid, are we not? Okay? So we're vibrating at quite a slow rate. So the soul, so magnificent, who is vibrating at the rate of divine consciousness, which is beyond our concept of even what that is while we're in form, and then gradually steps that divine consciousness down so that we can not only receive it, but experience it, actually experience it. Now, when would we experience it? It's a four-letter word and it starts with an L. Love, there you go. All right, so we got that one. Okay, so when we take that vibration and we start stepping it down, and when there is love, all of us in this room know what that love is. When you have love, no one has to tell you, did you know that was love? No. You know that's love, okay? And what is the feeling aspect of love? Joy. So if you're not having joy, then love is not present. Something else is present, but it is not love. So we're looking at how the ego, which is one aspect, and really resonates at quite a low, slow vibration. And the soul, which is able to step this vibration down, that we can manage it. And as we grow and expand our consciousness, what happens? We begin to raise our vibration, don't we? Our vibration begins to get more subtle and more refined and more refined. So our job is then to say, here is my ego. Now, ego is God. Everything is God. But ego is very slowly vibrating. And one of the reasons that occurs is because through all the generations that have ever been upon the earth plane, that separation between ego and soul has been very powerful. And before we had Jung and all the wonderful therapists and psychologists who worked with all this wonderful energy to discover that it wasn't the soul that was holding the ego energy, it was the ego holding the ego energy. So when we look at what is the purpose of the ego, it has been created to hold a polar energy to the soul, all right? Because we have both within ourselves. Now, the beauty is that as we really do our work, and when I say our work, we are refining the energy of the ego. All of us in our childhood were imprinted with both the negative and positive characteristics of our mother and father. Yes? Everybody agree with that? Nod your heads up and down. Okay, so everybody knows that. Now, what we do is this. We look at, as we mature, those parts of ourselves that we got imprinted by our mums and our dads, and we say, this doesn't serve me anymore. I've told you about my journey through anger until I was finally ready to let go of that anger. But I kept it because I felt I needed it to defend and protect myself. And that's the ego, who needs to defend and protect itself. The ego also wants to judge and criticize. Now, who do we judge and criticize first? Ourselves. And then we project that out on another, do we not? So again, we have the judgment and the criticism. Now, as we begin to release that by doing what? Self, four-letter word starts with an L, love, self-love. Now, I never had one notion about self-love. Never, ever, in my childhood or early adulthood. And I'll go to a workshop, and the guy starts telling about self-love, and I went, what is he talking about? Because that wasn't in my world, you know? I was told, you know, you should always diminish yourself, you should never express yourself, children are seen but not heard, I mean, you know, all of that. And so I followed that road. And then I realized how important it was, and I read a book by Louise Hay, and I've shared this with many people, but I want to share it with everyone again tonight. In that book, she had a statement that stopped my world. She was suffering from cancer, and she asked how she might come into peace. And what she received was this sentence. You say your name, so just say your name to yourself. And then you say, Mary, all of your names, Mary, I love you and accept you just the way you are. Now, I looked at that and I said, ooh, have I got a lot of work to do. I've got a lot of work to do. So I said, okay, I'm going to make a commitment and I'm going to say this mantra, make it my mantra, and I'm going to say it until it is true for me. It took me 2 years. I sang it, I whistled it, I hummed it, I skipped it, I run it, I walked it, I did everything I could because I wanted to get this. Mary, I love you and accept you just the way you are. I mean, with all the faults and all the flaws and all the yada-doo-da-day, you know, that we all have inside of us. And I said, I gotta love this. Who's gonna love it if I don't love it? How's it gonna change if I don't love it? How is that going to be? I have to get in touch with all of that that I have really pushed down and submerged and said, later. Well, later was now, that very moment. And after the 2 years, the divine came to me and said, now, the next mantra is. And I went, ooh, what will it be? And it was, I am the heart of God expressing upon the earth plane. I am the heart of God expressing on the earth plane. And I said, ooh, that's just too huge. And the divine said, no, dear, practice. And so I began to practice just saying it, just being able to say that and feel what that really was. And at the same time, I was having these impourings of energy, and my soul awareness was expanding exponentially as I began to realize that my heart was expanding exponentially by saying, I am the heart of God expressing, that's a very important word, expressing on the earth plane. And my soul was, of course, the means of expression, was it not? Okay? So I had to step forward and embrace the possibility that I, my soul, would be able to move energetically in such a way that I would not only know love and joy and peace and what light really is and that everything is light, and that I would be able to hold all of that in such a way that the ego, which was watching all this time going, uh-huh, really, yeah, well, I don't believe a word of that. Okay, to change all of that old rhetoric and be able to move it into a place of love. And the divine said, here's your soul. And as you allow the ego to change and move out of its negative patterning into positive patterning, then slowly but surely it will come into alignment with your soul. And there will be no separation It will just be one line of energy. And when anything comes up in your world, you may still hear the chatter, the storyteller, telling you stories about whatever it is, but you will be able to hold this alignment so that even when the chatter begins, as I have expressed in this group, I say to my ego, thank you for those thoughts, but they're not the ones I wish to think now. I wish to think other thoughts. So thank you, and now I will begin with whatever the next thought is that holds that love. So it was, for me, a realization that the ego was the part of the divine that was saying, here is what you heal. And when you heal, it is your service. Because if I heal my anger, and I have been able to do that, it means that now, in the collective consciousness, which is a huge living entity in this world, the collective consciousness, that the healing of my anger has changed how that anger exists in the collective consciousness. And every time we make a shift, every time we change one thought that was less than love into a thought of love, it changes the collective consciousness. Now this is huge, because the collective is mainly unconscious of itself. And we who are bringing what? Consciousness to all that we are, it affects everything and everyone. Sometimes we think, well, it's just me. I'm just the only one who's doing this. But the truth is, there are many people doing this. And if our one moment of change changes one moment within the collective, can you imagine if you multiply that by everybody on the planet? It's huge. And there are many souls in the formless who are doing nothing but working in the collective consciousness. That's what they agreed to do. They said, we're going to be in the formless and we're going to work on the collective consciousness of this planet and this solar system and this universe. I mean, it gets bigger and bigger as you go along. So I said, okay, I can't do the big thing right now. I just got to do the one thing at a time thing, okay? That's where I started. Just give me one thing, and I will work on it, I will heal it, and then I will have a realization that behind that energy is the presence of my soul. So now I embrace and have fully embraced my ego, and I honor that who I am has come as a result of holding that beautiful consciousness of soul as it is present in me and in every single one of us in this room, and at the same time allowing the ego which I am to reveal itself to me so that I may do the work of healing and changing and transforming and whatever else needs to be done. And then allowing my physical body to be able to hold these vibrations in a place of union and communion, where the ego and my soul often have conversations about a perspective on something. And of course, the perspective of the ego is no longer that kind of thing. It is this kind of thing, where there is a conversation going on. And it's very fulfilling to me to be able to sit back and listen. And I've become a very good listener. And when my soul is speaking, it has a certain vibration. And interestingly, now my ego has become so accustomed to being in this alignment that it is showing me a human experience of that divine energy. Does that make sense? A human experience of this divine energy. And it is so incredible. Just absolutely incredible. I can only say that one of the reasons that we gather in a room such as this is so that we can acknowledge the soul of the other, everybody in the room, to acknowledge their beautiful souls, and at the same time to be fully grounded in our physical body. There are many people who want to leave their bodies. They're not happy in their bodies. They wish that they were someplace else. So, I have something to read to you. What is it you want to change? Your hair? Your face? Your body? Why? For God is in love with all these things, and God might weep when they are gone. Now that's how precious we are in creation. And often we forget how precious we are. No one ever said to me, "You're precious." I never heard that. I still haven't heard it, but maybe my husband will tell me tonight after the meeting. Thank you, darling. He's nodding his head up now. Okay. So he can tell me that I'm precious. So to know that we are held in that divine love, and we are very precious to the divine. And when we said we would manifest into the physical again, I said, I don't want to be alone. I want to be able to speak my truth. I don't want to be tortured for doing it. Thank you very much. I've had enough embodiments where that's happened. I want to be in joy. I want to be in love. In love. In love. In love. I want to be able to serve. And as we talked about last week, service is about being. It's not about doing. So to have the service of being. So let us look now at the ego holding what it holds, which is humanity, right? The ego is holding humanity. The soul is holding the divine. But here comes the divine into humanity through our ego. And its purpose is to show us every aspect possible so that we might do what? Love it. Love it. Embrace it and acknowledge it. Now, if we truly do that, I mean down to the absolute minutia of whatever it is within our ego energy, then what happens? We have compassion. We finally come into compassion because I know anger now. So if I meet someone who has anger, I have great compassion for them because I know exactly what that anger feels like. And I know that it'll just eat you up inside if you do not know how to exorcise it and bring it forward and bless it and change it. And the same thing is true of every single aspect that we have within ourselves that is less than love. And by bringing it into consciousness, we can bring it into love, you see? So those things that before I felt so inadequate when I would, you know, write down all my less thans, less than love, and I go, ooh. And then I'd say, "Mary, I love you and accept you just the way you are." And that lifted a great weight from me so that I could then look at each one, not with condemnation, but with acceptance and say, I want to work on this one. I want to work on it until I'm able to release it. And I don't care how long that takes because it's infinite. The work that I'm doing is infinite. This happens to be just one little embodiment out of a whole series of embodiments. And if I dedicate myself to really moving energy, then the changes will happen and something else will happen. And I don't know what that is. But I know that I can receive whatever comes. Whatever comes, I will be able to receive it. So I bless the ego. I acknowledge the ego. I thank the ego. I say, "Honey, you have done one great job. Now, let's make a shift." Okay? Now, let's look at the next part and the next part. And from my perspective, I realize that self-awareness is knowing who you are completely and having great compassion for yourself and love for yourself and forgiveness for yourself. And then when you're out in the world, that's how you meet everyone. You meet everyone with that love and compassion. You meet everyone right where they are. But you do no longer have the ego needing to judge them. Rather, you have the ego very quietly being present. Right? This is the deal. So we get to say, how much of this love can we take? How much? Now, the divine showed me this great big bowl. It was filled with light and water. And the divine said, this is how you look at love. And I had a little dropper of blue ink. And the divine said, now just squeeze one little drop into that water. And of course it just went, and you could hardly see that the water had changed. And the divine said, why would you put so little love? And I said, it's true. I measure it out because it was measured out to me in my childhood. If I did good, I got one drop. If I didn't do good, there was no drop. Is this familiar to anyone besides me? I hope so. Nod your heads up and down. Okay. So then the divine said to me, well, you see this whole great big thing here that's just filled with that nice blue ink? That's your love. Now, why don't you just take that little thing and just go plop like that? And of course, I said I would. So I picked it up, and this is with my spiritual hand, picked it up, poured it in, and the water went blue. And I went, oh, so that's how it works. Okay, so you just have to open and let it flow, however it wants to flow. Because how love flows through each of us is very distinctive, very clear, very, very different. And that's what makes living on the earth plane one reason why we re-embody. We say, gosh, this time I'm going to try this combination. And we, you know, have all of our soul agreements and we say, okay, I want to have this and this and this and this. And then we see how that's going to work. And then we say, pretty good, next time, let's try, okay, off we go again. Now, I don't know how many, you know, I've had a lot of embodiments. And most of them have not been easy. I did the good battle in many of those embodiments. And in this embodiment, I'm very clear that I said, if it's not in love, I don't want to go there. So teach me and show me and give me whatever those qualities are within me that will allow me to come to love. And one of those energies, and it is a great God quality I have decided, is relentlessness. I am relentless. I said, if I don't get it, I will keep going. And I just, people would say, oh. And my dancers in my dance company, they say, Mary is the most relentless person we've ever met. She will not stop. And I said, that's the deal. I'm here to get it. I want to get it. I'll do whatever it takes. And that's the other thing. Will you do whatever it takes? A lot of people don't want to do whatever it takes. They want someone to hand it to them or tell them, oh, next embodiment or whatever. Well, I don't think so. This time, it's about all of us together. You see, our group soul body is so powerful that if each of us every day just did that one little inchworm that I've talked about, that one little inchworm every day, you take 1,000 of those inchworm steps and you make a quantum leap. Now, if just we in this circle every day just said, okay, today I'm working on doubt, if you have doubt. Today I'm working on anger, if you have anger. Today I'm working on envy. Today I'm working on, you know, whatever those things are within you. If you just worked on that, and everybody just worked on one every day, okay? 1 month, 2 months, okay? We'd be there. As a group, we just make a quantum leap. We just go, whoosh, and everybody go, what happened to them? Well, when people say, we want to raise our vibration because we want ascension, I said, why would I re-embody if I want ascension? It doesn't make sense to me. I believe that we have re-embodied so that we can be right here. And be right here in love, light, peace, and joy. Those four things. And if you have those four things, then as far as I'm concerned, and it's every day, 24 hours a day, unceasingly, right? No little missteps over there, no little doodahs over here, just 24 hours a day, day after day after day. If all of us come to that place, then we will be living the truth of our being. And if we're living the truth of our being, then everything in our life will unfold in divine order, and we will be one with all that is. And I mean all that is. Now, that means that the ego will then be nestled in the arms of soul. And we, this that we are in the physical, will be nestled in the arms of soul, which is the divine, which means that we will be nestled in the heart of the divine, and our hearts and the heart of the divine will beat as one. There will be no separation between who we are moment to moment. We will simply be that divine consciousness. So what will our lives look like? Guess what? Just like our lives look now. Right? Just exactly how they look now. Oh, rats. No, actually, you want that to happen. Can we walk the path of our life in that kind of serenity, in that kind of joy, in that kind of peace? Just exactly the way our lives are, with all what I call the doodah day of life. You know, those things that just kind of grate on your nerves. Well, maybe it wouldn't grate on our nerves anymore. Maybe we could see behind what was grating on our nerves and say, I hadn't really seen what was behind that. So perhaps I need to put my focus on that which is behind it rather than what is right in front of me that appears to be grating on my nerves. Do you understand that behind everything there is purpose? And often we do not look for the purpose of why that is in our lives at this precise moment. Divine order is always in place. There are no accidents. There is nothing happens in this world at all that is not in divine order. But if we do not look behind it and see why it is as it is, then we'll go, oh no, not that, or I'm not happy the way this looks. No, 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 no. We hold everything in that place of divine order. And we look at it and we say, in this embodiment, I may not know the divine order of why this is, but I will be with it as it is in love and compassion. I will do that because I know that there is divine order even in this. Now that takes a huge expansion of your consciousness and a huge expansion of your heart to be able to hold those things that you look at and you say, I can't believe that this is this. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this war is still going on. I can't believe those people are suffering. I can't believe that this is what it looks like. The ego will always try to create separation between you and everything else that's going on in the world. And the soul says, can we not embrace this and have compassion for what is unfolding? The divine has said to me, you will not know why all of this looks the way it does on the earth plane. You will have some degree of awareness, but you'll only know it when you pass away. When you're out of form and you're in the formless, will you really see the incredible, what I call passion play, that is unfolding on the earth plane. But we can attune ourselves to it through our love and our compassion. We can, as things unfold, look at it and say, this too has purpose. Even though everybody around us is saying whatever their ego has to say about it. And we can listen to that with compassion too, because probably the moment before we might have been thinking the same thoughts or saying the same words. But then we allowed ourselves to shift from that very narrow, slow vibration to a much more expanded, loving vibration. And it takes practice. I call it building your spiritual muscle. You have to build a spiritual muscle, and it has to be strong enough that no matter what is unfolding, you can flex that muscle and say, I am present in love. I am present in love, and I will be here whatever it looks like. Now, for many people, that is not their soul agreement. They did not come to do this, okay? And you can look in your heart and say, I don't know, maybe that's not a soul agreement I have. Well, that's fine. That's okay. You're doing something else. It just so happens that this is what I'm doing. And I'd love to have a few people join me. Wouldn't that be fun? Because then we could all just sit around and go, you know, and just love on everything all the time. Why not? I can't think of anything to be more pleasant. No matter what. And I say to people, why do you read the newspaper? Do you read the newspaper? I don't ever read the newspaper. But if you read the newspaper, the only reason that I believe anybody should read the newspaper is so that with every story you read, you bring compassion to every single person that you're reading about. No matter who it is, no matter what they've done, you bring compassion to them. That's why you read the newspaper. But if you read the newspapers, you can go, oh, did you see that dastardly thing that happens? Oh, this is just terrible. Oh, yeah, that. You know, forget that. Enough of that drama. We don't need any more. What we need is to be able to feel that love and compassion around everything and everyone. And it takes spiritual muscle to do that. And you build it little by little, little by little. Sai Baba said, first you start with yourself, and then you go to your family of origin, and then you go to your two neighbors, and then you go to your neighborhood, then you go to your community, then you go to the state you live in, then you go to the country that you live in, and then you begin to embrace the whole world. But if you don't begin here, you can't get here. So you start there with you, and then from there, it really does happen. So I don't read the newspaper, yet if there's something that I am to know, a messenger will come, always. And usually they'll call and say, Mary, have you just heard the news? And I'll go, please tell me, I've been waiting for this phone call, you know. And then they'll tell me whatever the drama is, and I'll go, okay, you know, and I know what my work is. My work is to take whatever that is, whoever it is, however many it is, it doesn't make any difference. Your heart is beyond the universe, believe me. It expands way beyond the universe. So you just bring all of that into your heart, and you just hold it there with love and compassion for whatever it is. And you don't question it, you don't say why. The ego loves why, what, where, when, who, how. You know those words that always lead nowhere except to more blah, 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 blah about it. So to be able to open and embrace that is so profound. So to answer the question, what is the purpose of the ego? It's only taken me 45 minutes. When you're answering that question, I hope you've got an idea now of what the purpose of the ego is. And the purpose of your soul is to embrace the ego as it's going through its machinations, as it does its little dance or whatever it is that it's doing, and to be able to say, thank you, but I don't have to do that dance anymore. I love you, and I acknowledge you, and I bless you because you have been a very profound teacher. But I do not have to go there anymore. Now that's big. And there are times when I get a little tweak and I go, whoops, just got a little tweak there, didn't I? Okie dokie. But I can forgive myself like that and I can find humor in it. I can just say, you know, it's fine. But I also do my homework. I trace that tweak back to where it came from. And I go, ah, so that was the moment, and this is a little bit of a residue that is still clinging within my ego. So I want to bring it in, and I really want to work it with love. I just want to massage it and let it be okay and let it release itself so that I don't have to be tweaked in that particular way. Okay? These are moments that will come throughout our days, will they not? And sometimes they sneak up and grab you when you don't expect it. And sometimes they're right in your face. However it comes, for us to have gratitude that it has come so that we may do the work with it, heal it and love it and release it and truly release it. And in so doing, know that there has been a shift in the collective consciousness because of it. This is part of our service. As we cleanse and clear that which is within us, so we assist in cleansing and clearing, while we're in the body, in embodiment, the collective consciousness. Now this is huge. This is a really big deal. But it's a very small thing, because we have to do it in this fashion. inchworm by inchworm by inchworm. And if it feels like a deluge, then you can say, ha. So the little boy who is holding the finger in the dam, let go for a moment. Here it comes, boop, you know, back it goes. And then we can work with whatever it is that has come unto us. And each of us will have different experiences, so that the whole level of what's happening in the collective consciousness can happen in the sweet ease for us. We don't have to be overwhelmed by what is going on. Rather, I'm assuming, our love will just encompass whatever it is. We have this extraordinary capacity to do this, and yet most of us do not practice it. We think, well, the other will take care of it. Well, I know someone over there will take care of that. Well, no, actually, we're it. If it comes to our consciousness, it's for us to pay attention, else something else would be happening in our consciousness. So we are invited, you don't have to do it in this embodiment, we're just being invited to say, perhaps you would like to do this as part of your service on the earth plane. And I raised my hand. I said, okay, I'll do that as part of my service on the earth plane. So I bring it forward, because in answer and response to the question, the purpose of the soul is to assist the ego in letting go so that the soul can then be fully realized in us, in every thought, every word, every deed, every action, every everything. It is known that what we have breathed, everyone who's ever been on the earth plane and has ever breathed, their molecules of breath are still stirring around. They haven't gone anywhere. They're just here all around. So when you take a breath, that might be Mohammed or Jesus or whoever. You do not know. But that breath can be yours. So I want to breathe the breath of the divine in all things and in every moment. I want to have the experience that even at the level of breath, that's what I'm breathing. At the level of my heartbeat, that's why the heart beats. That my hands can move and do whatever the service is that they are to do. That these feet will carry me wherever I am to be. That my presence will be wherever I need to be, even if I didn't know that's where I was supposed to be. But if that's where I am, then that's where I am. And to acknowledge that, I do not have to go on any long journey. I can just be right where I am, and that's where it is. It's difficult sometimes when we see people who are doing many, many extraordinary things and many things that are less than love. These polarities are always at work. And what we said we would do is, no matter where we are, if it comes into our consciousness, in that moment we will begin to bring our love and compassion to it. At that moment, we will not think about it, we will not judge it, we will not say this is good, bad, right, wrong. We will simply embrace it in its entirety. Okay? So in doing, something else can happen. And we don't know what that is, but I trust the something else. I trust it completely, that it will occur if I do my work. So, moving right along, she said. Question number two, and this is a great question. I might have to bring it up again. And I'll read it just as it's written. It seems like there is a power growing from this group soul in the class that is assisting my individual soul in coming more into my conscious awareness and daily life. Is there a connection here? Well, I would say the answer is yes. The reason that the divine said, you need to just rent this room, set out the chairs, come and sit here, open your mouth, and let the energy flow, is not because what I think may interest you, but what's really going on here. And I'm going to tell you what's really going on here. It has nothing to do with what I have to say. Okay? Nary a word. So if you want to go to sleep, that's fine, because it's still going to happen even if you sound asleep. You can bring your sleeping bag next time, lie down on the floor. That's fine with me. Because what's really going on is this. Behind the words that I'm speaking is the presence of the divine is vibrating like this. Okay? And that vibration is going out with every word I speak. And it is actually infilling every single person in this room. And it's infilling you exactly where you're supposed to be infilled. And that is not my business. I do not have to worry about that. For some of you, it is the amplification of your self-consciousness. For other people, it's the amplifying of the heart. For the other people, it is a sentient awareness of the soul presence. It can be almost anything. And it's just, you know, I could just sit here and read the phone book, the dictionary. It wouldn't make any difference, but it'd be so boring. And I don't want you to be so bored that you don't come back, you know? So I have to keep, you know, opening and bringing more of the energy through, because the energy moves like this. It's in a wave energy, okay? And as I'm speaking about whatever I'm speaking about, the vibration is moving out of my mouth behind these words, and it is actually moving into your physical matter, however it fills you. And each one is receiving it differently, because each one of us is a different way of expressing the divine. So all I need to do is just sit and begin, and then it starts. Now, when you go home, it doesn't go away. If you meditate, it will amplify. If you pray, contemplate, it will magnify. If you love yourself or another, it will be magnified. If you are in the presence of another and you experience forgiveness or compassion, it will be amplified. It is always in the presence of you, and it is always being amplified to some degree. And if you are working with loving yourself, it will be amplified. There's very little that you cannot do that will not amplify this. And if you love to sing, and even if you sing off key, sing! It gets amplified, you know? If you laugh, it gets amplified. If you're joyful, it gets amplified. I mean, there's nothing that cannot amplify the vibration of who you really are. My job is just to kind of, you know, jumpstart every week a little bit more of that amplification of energy. And then when you go from this room, you could say, well, that was weird. That's fine. It's still going to get amplified, folks. That's the deal. And I don't know why it is, but it is. And so I honor that when I work in the formless, because I do most of my work in the formless, not in the form. When I work in the formless, it's all about the level of energy that is not only coming into the earth plane at this time, which is quite remarkable, the incredible number of souls who are literally, it's like rain, this soft, beautiful rain that's falling into the earth plane. And their support is just profound for everything that we're experiencing and going through at this time. And I likewise have said, I want to extend my consciousness and my love to all of those who are in the formless. And so part of my practice is to experience having my love moving into and through all the beloved on the other side who are in the formless. So the exchange of energy, a friend of mine who has now passed on, she lived to be 93, she said what used to happen when she first began to do energy work, that the energy or the movement between the form and the formless was very difficult. And it was almost like, you know, those heavy curtains that they put down, the fire curtains in the theaters, and then they roll the fire curtain up, and then you have these heavy velour curtains. Well, she said to penetrate what was like that firewall was absolutely incredible. And they would sit in a room like this, and they would just focus their energies on being able to move through what looked like a firewall. And then they achieved that, and that was released. And then it was like the velour curtains came next. And by the time she passed, she said to me, you just go like that. Formless form, formless form, formless form. And you don't think anything about it. And she said, do you know the work we did? And I said, I do, and I praise you every day for that. I said, we can go into the formless like that, and we do not think a thing about it. And we can remain there for as long as we want to and do our work, and we can come back and be in this form, no problem. And I'm in the form while I'm in the formless, of course. I don't leave this form. It's just that the expansion of the consciousness is so profound that we can now go into the formless. So when someone says, my father is dying, or my father has died, I can see the soul of this individual's father, and I can say, this is what's happening, and this is what it looks like, and so on, so on, so on. I'm not the only person on the planet who does this. It just happens to be I was born with that aspect of energy, so that when I'm on the earth plane, I can energetically work with everybody. So y'all go out of this room, but I never cease. You never leave my consciousness. You never leave my consciousness, ever. You're there 24 hours a day, all the time. And you come, both bidden and unbidden, to me. It's fascinating. And I'll go, oh, I remember. She was sitting over there. And here she is in my consciousness, you know? So understand, there are many, many ways that you as souls are fully present, even if you may not be aware of it yet. But I hope as we go further down the road together that more and more of that awareness will come to you, and that you will be able to feel more fully the presence of your soul as a result of it, and then to be able to honor the souls of the other. Everybody has a soul. People have said to me, well, what about these criminals who do these dastardly deeds and all the things that happen on the earth plane that are so very, very hard? And I said, I was told that their soul is, it's like being in a meditation. They quietly await that energy that is unfolding as the ego of that person is unfolding. And we must remember that every single human being has made a soul agreement to do exactly what they're doing. And whatever that agreement is, they are, whatever that is, they're doing. And I do not challenge anybody's soul agreement. I honor that whatever it is, it is. And we can usually, as an ego, at an ego level, we can trace it back to the family of origin, what is happening to that person in their adult life. And I asked about the family entity. What does that look like? Now, this may not be in your belief system, and that's fine, but I talk about it anyway because it's cool. All right. You have a family, and you have aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and so on and so forth. What we do through each of these series of embodiments, we take different roles. We take different roles. So one embodiment, you're going to be the mama, and the next embodiment, you may be the daughter, and the next embodiment, you may be the dad, the next embodiment, you may be the uncle, etc., etc. So we're always changing places. So if we look back on our mums and our dads and our siblings, often my older brother and sister have now become the mom and the dad. Okay? So when my mom and dad passed, they stepped right up and said, I'm mom and dad now, okay, you know? And I went, far out. I mean, in one embodiment, they got to be brother, sister, and now they get to be mom and dad, okay? Now, in the next embodiment, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if I'm going to re-embody again or not. I haven't decided, but I'm pretty sure they're going to re-embody again. And so they're going to re-embody, and they will say, this time I need to work on blah, blah. Which person in this family entity do I need to be to get the lessons that I need that I didn't get yet or that I'm really working on? So if you are working on, say, authority, which position would you want to take? Who?
The parental.
The parental, which one? Authority.
Father.
Probably the father. It would be the father. If you wanted to say, I've got to really practice nurturing,
be the mother,
okay? I want to be the youngest because I don't want to have to take responsibility for being the oldest. You understand? The oldest said, I want to be the oldest this time. I'm tired of being the little kid. Okay, you know. I mean, when you look at the dynamics, and if we look back at our mums and dads, I mean, I certainly did that. I thought, wow. I mean, what soul agreements they made and the lives that they had. I mean, they really had very interesting lives, both of them. Both of them lost Their fathers, both of their fathers died when they were very young. My mother was 10, my father was like 12 or 13. And when they met, what brought them together was the loss of their fathers. And I went, of course. So this is how they got together, okay, and had their marriage, and then had the four children, and I said, I don't want to be the youngest, and I don't want to be the oldest. They said, okay, we'll stick it right there. Okay, that's where you're going to go. I said, that'll be the perfect place. And because I had said, I want to work in my mystical consciousness this time, and I had an agreement, I want to have an experience early enough that I can begin at a young age and then have it carry through the entire embodiment. I just turned 70. So they said, okay, we're going to drop you in. We're going to give you this experience when you're 6 years old. And then from then on, it's just going to be the slow ride up to wherever you're going to get. And I went, that'll be good. Meanwhile, the dynamics of the family was swirling around and was very energetic and had a lot going on. But that was really important because that meant that I could quietly continue my process. And if that were not swirling around, then I could have been caught up in that swirling and I would not have fulfilled my soul agreement to move energetically in my mystical consciousness. Brilliant choreography. Brilliant. Now, at the time, I thought, what's going on here? I mean, I was just hanging on to my seat. I just couldn't believe the whirlwind that was going on. And I had my mother and my father. I mean, I've been called the energy bunny, and that's true. But energizer bunny, isn't that the one that you wind up and go, okay. But my mom and dad, when people would say, you're this energizer bunny, I said, no. You haven't met my mom and dad. I mean, I said, you want to meet people with energy? Watch out. I mean, it's just like, right? But I needed to see what that was. We come into our family of origin to get those things, and I call it the grist that will go in the mill. And you have to work that grist. You have to make it into flour. Then you have to put that flour into something that's meaningful, right? Feed the soul. So, you look at what were those patterns, what was that energy, and then you say, okay, what have I got inside me that makes me step into a whole different place? I mean, everyone looks at me in my family and goes, are you sure you weren't adopted? You know, I mean, and people say to me, is this your family? This can't possibly be your family. You sure you weren't adopted? I said, actually, I chose them wisely because they gave me everything I needed to be able to cope and be in my physical body. And if I'd had any other family, I don't know. But this was the perfect family. So if you look at your family of origin, and it took a while for me to have the compassion that I have now and the love that I have now for each of them and what service they have done just for me. You know, just because they held all those positions and I didn't have to. I could go on my way, however that way has been. And it's quite astounding. So if we look at how that origin and the choices that we made in our family at the soul level, just what that is like, that's a very extraordinary thing. And then where we are now and how our lives are being defined, I'm assuming in a very different way than our family of origin. Would everybody agree with that? We have a very different point of view than our family of origin. And this is very important to acknowledge and to give thanks that through that family of origin, we were able to step out and become who we really were and really are in this moment. Okay? Now this is magnificent, magnificent. So it means that as we have made those choices and we have evolved, the next level of energy that we're going to have, not only during this embodiment, but when we leave the embodiment, the choices that we will make when we're in the formless, what will those be? Well, they're going to be a reflection of what's happened to us during this embodiment. You understand? You don't just die and then the soul goes over there and says, well, let's see. No, you have the opportunity to garner hopefully all those extraordinary energies that you have accumulated in this embodiment, in all of your bodies, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies, how has that been? And then who you are as you progress through this embodiment. And if we look at how many of us have the experience of looking back over our lives and seeing moments that we could never have explained or created ourselves, that were created in our lives, that took us to the next step, and we said, wow, look where we are now. And the next step, and we said, look where we are now. Have y'all had those experiences where you say, how did that happen? How did I get here when I was over there? And what does that look like? The beautiful weaving of all the threads of our lives and the people who are in our lives that deeply weave themselves and we in their lives, so that whatever this tapestry is that we're creating, and now we're creating a group soul body tapestry, because every time we meet, there is more of that weaving that's going on, okay? And it doesn't just end because you walk out of the room. It continues to grow. And even if you never came back in this room, every moment of the rest of your life will be woven into this tapestry. And from time to time, you will see it. And you may see it in the way the wind is blowing the trees, or the way the sun is rising, or the way the moon is shining. It will be shown to you in ways that will take your breath away. And you'll go, oh my goodness, I'm in France. I'm standing in a building high up, looking down over a valley. And suddenly the wind comes, and the way it moves through the trees along the river was absolutely exquisite. And there's no one else in the room. And I look at it and I go, did I actually see that? That was so beautiful. And then here it comes again. And I go, oh, so this is what it's like. This is what life is like. That the wind, which is that divine consciousness, moves through us. And we are like these trees with all these extraordinary leaves that are just waiting to be moved. And as they're moved, something extraordinary happens. And we cannot predict the moment that the wind will come through. But we know it. We know it when it happens. And we go, oh, that was one of those moments. One of those stellar moments that we hold on to because they're so rare and so beautiful. So, as we go along, the answer to the question is yes. If you're in this group, is it assisting my individual soul in becoming, in coming more into my conscious awareness and daily life? I would think so. Okay. Oh, now this is an interesting one. I've talked a little bit about it, but I'll talk about it now. How do we move from this three-dimensional polarity into the fourth, fifth, etc. dimensions? Okay. So here we are in 3D. Now, the other dimensions are available to us through our soul. So once you have come into that knowing of your soul and the experience of soulfulness, which I believe every one of us can experience any time of the day or night, all we have to say is, I am one with my soul, and you will experience what that is. And it will be very subtle, but it will grow as you call for it to happen more and more. If you want to go into the other dimensions, and I don't actually know why you would want to do that, because this dimension is very interesting, but if you do want to go into the other dimensions, you need to relinquish being in 3D long enough to be able to start raising your vibration so that you attune to those other dimensions of consciousness. I happen to resonate with a dimension of consciousness that is in the formless, and in which there are still soul entities or soul consciousness. That's my field that I work in. The inner planes, when I make the calls, I call to the inner planes. The inner planes are a dimension in the formless in which the vibration is held for all creation. So out of the inner planes comes that level of energetic for all creation, regardless of whether it's form or formless. And when we talk about the masters, the ascended masters, or any of the masters who may be coming out of any of your backgrounds or theology or mythology, often they are referred to as being on the inner planes, in that innermost sanctum, sanctorum of the divine consciousness, that they have come to be illuminated individuals in physical form often, not very many, but enough so that we realize that you can come be fully awakened in this embodiment. And when they leave the embodiment, when we leave the embodiment, you will go to the plane of consciousness, which is that which you accomplished while you were in the body. Okay? So, the more expanded your consciousness is, the more expanded will be the plane at which you will enter when you leave the body. And those who have become fully realized while they're in the body, then when they move into the formless, it will be, quote-unquote, into the inner planes, into the most inner realms, as it were. Now, this sounds like good, better, best, but actually, that's not the truth. It's all one. You see, the ego, even at a spiritual level, wants to say, well, it's a cutoff here. All right, you only did this much, that's the only place you're going to go. All right, oh, you did better, you get to go here. Oh, you did better. Actually, that's not true. It's just one. I have died in this embodiment, and I can assure you that when I got to the other side, there wasn't anything but love. And it was very profound, and then I got back in my body. And as a result of that, I realized that while the ego, even at the spiritual level, is still quite vigorous in most of us, we want it to look like whatever we want it to look like. And so we believe that's what it looks like, right? And when you let go of those beliefs, then all there is the one. And what does the one look like? Well, I can't describe it. I just know it exists. And if you need to say, well, I've achieved this level of consciousness this time, so I'll go to that plane, I think that's a good thing, that you realize how you have grown and that that awaits you. Or you can say, I've come to this place of consciousness and I'm one with all that is. Well, then that's exactly what you'll experience, is being one with all that is. It's simply what you decide that you want, right? I mean, I know lots of folks who say, I don't believe a word you said, and when I die, nothing happens. I say, well, then that's what you'll experience. I'm happy for you. That's exactly what you expect. Nothing, that's it. I, frankly, I'm not interested in nothing. I've already been there, and it's not nothing to me. It's really real. So it's as real in the formless as it is in the form. But that's my experience, and that's one reason that I'm sure I embodied, so that I could actually be in the form. Be in the form. You know, angels don't get to be in the form. That's not what they do. And they don't have emotional bodies either. Angels are another aspect, and they're in every single culture. Angels are an aspect of our consciousness, because everything is an aspect of our consciousness. And for those who need to have something that they believe that is greater than themselves, not quite God, because that's a big leap, but can be a reference of divine consciousness, angels fill the bill. And they're wonderful, and they're beautiful. And every culture I've ever traveled to, angelic energy is certainly part of their mythology and their philosophy and their point of view. And I love angels. I absolutely love angels. And I bless them and thank them for the work that they do, because they do superb work. But they are not going to do the earth plane stuff. And the movies that have come out around angels, I find them very delightful, and it brings the consciousness to the angelic kingdom. And why not? You know, they want to get a little publicity too, for heaven's sakes, you know, because they're doing the work on the earth plane. So they enter into the consciousness of a filmmaker or a writer, and they say, gosh, you know, we need a film about angels. And then they make a film about angels. Everybody goes, gosh, a film about angels, you know? I mean, I just love how it works. So for people who say to me, I fear death, and I honor that that is a great fear upon the earth plane, because for many, particularly if you have been raised with hell, I was not raised with the aspect of hell, so I don't know anything about hell. But hell on earth, yes, I have a taste of that, so I know what that is. But the reality of what I've experienced in the embodiment has not been about how one will burn in flames, or because you did bad, something bad's going to happen after you pass from the body. I've not had that teaching. Therefore, I have no belief in it. If that is your belief, then you can transcend that belief. A belief is just like anything else. You can change it whenever you're ready. Right? Belief is just another thought. And you can say, that thought doesn't serve me any longer. And then you can say, I'd rather go where the love will hold me. I'd rather go where I would be loved. That's what I would love. And then that will be what you will experience. Okay? So, Lord, look at the time. Now, that clock is not right. My clock is right. Okay. So we're still doing okay. We're at 8:15. Okay. What I want to do now is invite each of us, and we'll go into our hearts to do this, to go into our hearts and to just dwell there for a few moments in the quiet, in the silence. And then I'm going to ask that we just, and I will begin it, I'm just going to start with a hum, just a very gentle hum. And in that humming, to just allow the energy to resonate in our hearts. And if you visualize, then please visualize that the energy of your heart is ever expanding. And let it go as far as you wish for it to expand. For those of you who are not visual, but are auditory, the sound of the hum will go and open your heart as far as the hum will go, which is into the infinite. And to allow the heart space which you are to encompass everyone in this room as well, so that we begin to gently open to this group soul body that we are so beautifully held in. So I'd like us now just to relax. And I'll give you a little visualization might help you. I'd like you to see elevator doors in front of you. And there's a button on the right-hand side of the elevator doors, and it's in the shape of a heart. So if you just push that button, and then the doors will open. And then you'll step into the elevator, and you'll turn and face the doors. And you'll notice that there's another button on the inside of the elevator, and it's shaped like a heart. And if you would just press that button, and now the elevator is going to descend down into your heart. And now you've come into your heart, and the doors are opening, and you're stepping right into the glory of your heart. And it's so beautiful there. Take a moment and look at the extraordinary beauty that is your heart. And when When you're ready, you may join me. All of our hearts are vibrating. And as we sounded that humming, our hearts were expanding. And even though we are not humming, our hearts will remain in that humming energy. And my hands are tingling. Perhaps some of you. I feel a great peace. As though the humming has brought peace into every cell of my body. Perhaps you are feeling this peace as well. And now I feel the circle that we create here in this room. And I am no longer separate from the circle. It is as though all of our energies are connected. And we are light. Even though we are still sitting in these chairs, we are the light. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who've gathered to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts. And there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you.